Welcome to Strictly Rangers. I'm Jacob Brown, joined here with my dad and George Lake. We're here to talk about the hiring of Gerard Gallant as the new head coach of the New York Rangers. But first off, Dad, I heard you're all the way up in Washington, obviously, right now. But I heard that it's 110 degrees up there. It's like a really rare heat wave.
Yeah, and just my luck, I got a hotel room with no air conditioning. So that was
that's beautiful.
Yeah. I had to sweat for an hour and a half before they got me another room. So that was fun.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, what do we think, though, guys? I mean, Gerard Gallant's the new guy. He's going to helm the ship, and he's going to be the guy. You know, I'm kind of on the fence with it. I did Strictly Hockey earlier today with Steven Adams. So check that out, guys, if you want to. It's on YouTube already, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, all that. We previewed the Stanley Cup Final. But, you know, I said it on there. I don't know what this guy's resume, why everyone hypes up what he's done. You know, I look at his tenure in Vegas, and he, number one, I mean, Dad, you brought this point up to me. He didn't make the team in Vegas. That was the GM, George McPhee. You know, he wasn't the guy picking the players, formulating the roster. He was just given the roster. And I don't know if this is too harsh, but was he a pep talk guy for a year? Because it was, and it's an amazing accomplishment what he did, bringing that group of guys to the Cup Final in year one. It's unprecedented, but this guy's been criticized for a lack of structure, and it makes me feel, because, you know, he goes to the Cup Final, it's great. The next year they lose in the playoffs. He's clowned on because he was making fun of Pete DeBoer, and Pete DeBoer ended up beating him and then taking his job after Gallant only went on a very small losing streak the following season. So that tells me, why is he being fired so soon after making Cup Final? He's been criticized for structure. He didn't really do much in Florida. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to be great for the superstars. But what superstars flourished exactly in Vegas? He wasn't there for the blooming of Ekblad in Florida or any of those players. Barkov didn't take off until after he left. So I don't know why Gallant, everyone's like, oh, this guy's great. He's going to be great for superstars. I'm really happy with what Yager said. I don't know if you guys saw that. Yager said he'll be great for superstars, because you know that's good news to hear. But just personally, I think he's got to prove it. That's all.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's the point. Let him come in here and see what he can do and prove it. I mean, listen, his track record, you know, goes, you know, pretty much 3 years from team to team. What that is, I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't know why Vegas got rid of him, because to be honest, I never thought Peter DeBoer was a good coach at all. And it just proves to me, losing to the Canadians, that he's not a good coach. I mean, yeah, the guy makes terrible decisions. I don't think he knows how to structure his team, to be honest with you, because they were one of the top teams in the league all year. And then all of a sudden, they just forgot how to play, and he's changing goalies every other game in the conference final. I mean, you know, I've never liked him as a coach. And I just, listen, Bill Foley owns my company. Okay. So I know how he thinks. And I'm not too sure if Peter DeBoer is going to last that much longer, to be honest with you. You know, And let's just see what Gallant can do. I mean, listen, I like the no-nonsense attitude, that's for sure. So maybe he has some kind of structure in that regard. You know, I'm curious to see how he's going to tear down this roster. That's the only thing I'm afraid of. You know, especially the talk I saw in the Post this morning with all of that crap with Eichel and, you know, they're going to want a boatload, and, you know, they're going to let Zibanejad walk after next year.
Oh. I mean,
you can't do that.
No.
You know, like I said it last time, I think Eichel's damaged goods, and I wouldn't touch him, especially for that package.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know where I fall on Gallant, but instinctually, I'm not thrilled, because the track record's not there. The rumors of the fact that he's not really a system kind of guy. Let's face it, for as the team that Quinn had last year, and for all his problems, the one thing that you can point to definitively is the fact that defensively, They were a much more structured team and a much more reliable team defensively. And that had nothing to do with Quinn as much as it had to do with Jacques Martin. But
right.
But I was – maybe Girardi is that guy. I don't know. Girardi's coming in an assistant role. But, you know, that would essentially be the equivalent of the football defensive coordinator. I don't know if Girardi has those kind of chops from a coaching perspective just yet. He's got the pedigree with the Yankees, with the Rangers and all that, which is wonderful. But, you know, the one thing I did not know about Gallant was that he made fun of DeBoers. And maybe for that reason alone, I kind of like him. I mean, DeBoers has always annoyed me. He always has got that pouty, like, sixth grader look on his face.
Exactly.
I mean, Jesus Christ. It's really an embarrassment. He's like, he's always whining or something. I don't know. I don't know how you command a room and look like that. I don't get it. So, I would imagine Gallant, based on his history, would also, you know, gleefully pound DeBoer's head into the wall. So there's no question about toughness and pedigree from that. I like who Gallant played with, right? He learned he was a young man playing with the Eisermans of the world and looks to Eisermann as a true leader. So that how that developed. But I will disagree with you, Jacob, on the thing in Florida. They do say that he was great for the Huberdeaux and Barkovs and Ekblads. He was there for that time. They say that he was a very positive influence. I got to take what Yager says seriously. And he came out, you know, very aggressively in favor of Gallant. Maybe this team doesn't need the X's and O's as much as it needs different personnel playing different roles and more sandpaper out of the top six. Everybody talks about the bottom nine and they need it there, the bottom six. But they also need some grind on the in the top six, and that's why I'm such an advocate for giving away guys like Strome and Buchnevich. I think you go out and guys that might score less goals, but have more of an impact on the game. And the whole mantra now is, you know, harder to play against. Everybody's talking about that. They need that, and Gallant is as demanding of his players as he suggests he is and other people say, maybe we'll get that.
Yeah, you know, the main thing that I'm worried about with Gallant is I'm not saying that he's anything similar to Vigneault in terms of coaching style, but if we get to the end of Gallant's term and let's say he has the resume of what Vigneault had as a Ranger coach, I'm worried that that's just going to be what happens here again. You know, like, what are we actually hiring him for? It's because Jeff Gordon, this is a segue to what Jeff Gordon said, which really, me and you, Dad, were talking about this. He was like, yeah, he said something along the line. I don't know if this is an exact quote, but he was like, yeah, I don't know if the playoffs are a mandate this year. What does that even mean?
Drury said that, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Drury, the new GM. But what the hell is that, right? I mean, what are you hiring Gallant for? This team is skilled enough to get to the playoffs, and all they need is some grit. I don't know. That's just a weird comment for me. And it's like, are we going to end up with Gallant with the same thing that Vigneault did, which was nothing? They didn't win anything.
Right. And that quote took me a little back yesterday when I saw that, because I'm like, well, yeah, what exactly is your plan then?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to tear down the roster and have us go two steps backwards, you know, before we get people in here that are going to, you know, yeah, grind.
How in the world are the playoffs not a mandate when you literally get rid of, one of the most respected guys and architects in the league in John JD, another guy with a pedigree in Gordon. Like, you're bringing in a guy with absolutely no resume in Drury. I don't care how much you like this guy or what you think his potential is. It takes time, really, to build up the level of I think, trust and momentum as a GM to really be taken seriously. And Drury's heading into a situation right now where the bottom line is that everybody knows what he needs. He's working from a disadvantage. So he's it's not like they're, some magical formula that he can apply where people are going to, you know, forget that the Rangers need grit. They're going to hold him hostage for that shit. So it's either going to be internally generated, which they don't have a lot of, Or Drury's got to be better than anybody thinks he is. And it's why I was so annoyed with the whole, you know, I don't want to get back, unpack that again, but why I was so annoyed with the whole Davidson thing. You know, Gordon, oh, you know, fine. Davidson, I don't know. That bugs me to my core right now. So, yeah. You know, as far as Gallant goes, you know, maybe the one thing I don't think you can compare him to Vigneault. Vigneault was that, you know, everything between the whistles bullshit. And it was such a departure from Tortorella, which was grind and too much to that side. Vigneault went for this finesse bullshit where, you know, you couldn't even look menacingly at the opposition after the whistle blew. And then, you know, Quinn was just Quinn. You know, he was just kind of an in-betweener. Maybe Gallant's just got a big pair of balls and that's what they need. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely agree with that. And that was my statement when they first hired him was, you know, at least now we have somebody behind the bench with a pair of balls.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, the Panarins of the world won't be getting pounded by these, you know, these dumbasses, you know.
That's why, you know, I thought the whole, what they, you know, the Rangers response to the Tom Wilson thing, like, That wasn't a response. That was like an obligatory, let's all go out there and throw some punches. A response is what they're going to do in the offseason. It's if they can get some guys out there and change the culture internally. You know, I'm excited to find out about, you know, if the Rangers have some intentions with Schneider and that Cooley kid, 6'3", 215 pounds, both drafted last year. Fuck it. Both of them got to be better than Howden in terms of contributions. I mean, so give them a shot. Get some like meat in that lineup, you know, but there's going to be an overhaul. There has to be. You brought up the Eichel thing. I don't like it. I mean, I think it was the Brooks article you're referring to where he said bringing in Eichel means the Banachet goes. I don't necessarily see that as being necessarily connected. I don't think you need to get rid of both of them. If you get rid of Buchnevich and the Stroms, there's your $10 million right there. And, you know, you can, what's going to happen is down the road, you're going to make choices with the young guys who you want, because they're going to all cost a lot of money.
Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully, right. At least, I mean, we don't know with Kako. Like this is the year for Kako where year three, there's gotta be a step forward. Same thing with Hedel. You know, we're watching all these teams in the playoffs this year, and all their young players perform. I mean, they don't have struggling young players. And, you know, I'm looking at Montreal. Why'd they make the playoffs? Because they're gritty and they're physical. And Dad, Larry Brooks just put the article up and you were talking about it. You've been saying it for a while. Montreal got Josh Anderson. The Rangers should have went for Josh Anderson, right? A 6'4" power forward, 25 goals, gets in your face. He's the guy that you want. All these playoff teams have that. Why'd the Islanders keep advancing? Because they're tough. And, you know, listen, this is a Ranger pod, but listen, the Islanders have proven themselves now multiple times that you don't want to fucking play them in the playoffs because they're going to hit you and they're going to check well and they're structured and they're well coached. And it's painful to say that, but it's true. And the Rangers don't have that. And soon, if these young players don't produce, you got to start bringing in the vets who know how to do that thing or draft better. You can't keep running out Kako if he's not going to produce. It's all, and Hedel, same thing. I love these guys, but if you're trying to win, how long can you wait? How long is this window?
Well, here's my answer to that, because again, I'm going to go back to these guys haven't had a full freaking season in 2 years.
Yeah.
Full training camp. I mean, and listen, I'm not saying that these other teams' young guys aren't playing well, because they are. So whether that's in the, you know, I mean, listen, I heard some idiots the other day going, well, you know, the Rangers should have took Caulfield. I'm like, yeah. Well, he went 15 or 16, you know, and, you know, we took Kako at number two. I go, so how, you know, you can't make that statement.
No, okay. That's idiocy.
And plus, teams backed off of him because of his attitude. You know, that's why he dropped like that.
Plus, the guy's still 5'7". I mean, come on.
Right. You know, but everybody's looking at him now like, oh, you know, this kid is so great. You know, how come they didn't take him? And I'm like, look, I'm like, really? You going to say that?
Wait till he's 3 or 4 years into the NHL and he's gotten his dick kicked in for 80 games. Let's see how fast and how creative and how spunky he is at that point, you know?
Right. I mean, the kid's only been up for 15 games this season plus the playoffs.
I mean, I could put on a good show for 15 games. So, but yeah, you know, I just, you know, to me, there are no mysteries about this whole thing, right? They've got to have a different culture. There's no team out there in the league that has, top six guys playing on the fourth fucking line, right? Like the, you know, like a Kravtsov who made it down that at some points, right? Kreider was benched to the fourth line at one point. Kako played fourth line minute. Like they've just got to put in the grinder guys. And I don't, you know, they throw all these names out, all these free agents. I'm not so in love with them. They're all 29, 30 years old. Make some like smaller trades with just younger guys that are under more control. I would give it, you know, see if somebody wants to take a Howden at 6'3", 2-something and think they can make something out of him for a guy that has got some grit to his game. So, you know, a younger guy that'll punch somebody in the mouth that's got a little size. Like that's what they need. They don't need any more skill. They need to determine who their top 6-8 guys are and then figure out which 2 or 3 they don't want. Period. That's it. For me, it's easy. Strom and Buchnevich, get the fuck out. I mean, seriously, I've had enough of that bullshit with Strom. More power to him. Jacob always throws these stats at me that he's like the top 18th fucking scorer. Lick my ass. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck how many goals the guy scores. He will do dick in the playoffs, guaranteed. Buchnevich will shit down his leg the first time somebody runs him in the first period of the first fucking playoff game. Goodbye, and the $10 million that you owe those guys over the next God knows how many years. Fuck them all. I would rather have a ragtag bunch of, like, toothless goons running around that can score 10 or 15 goals, pop somebody in the fucking mouth, hit somebody, and that's hockey.
That's literally Montreal right now. I mean, that's literally right. What they're doing. I mean, they don't have any superstars, really great defense, goalie, and that's one thing the Rangers are always going to be hopefully securing as well as with Igor, is you hope that he's that guy. And you brought it up, George, with Vegas going from goalie to goalie to goalie, who are you going to play? That's really important too, for when the Rangers are building these playoff teams, is they know Igor's their rock and he's their guy. You know, the Lightning, they get there, it's Vasilevsky. For Montreal's Carey Price. So, you know, that's not rocket science. Obviously you need a goalie to advance in the playoffs, but especially proven this year. And again, I think that the Rangers have a lot of potential. Obviously, they have a lot of skill, but, you know, obviously you can go a lot of different routes. You can say Strom or Buchnevich, they have to go. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not beholden to these guys, honestly, after watching the playoffs this year. I'm really not. Because, again, Montreal, they don't have the big names. The Islanders, that you don't look at their lineup and go, wow, this guy's going to go and he's going to stick handle around me and have great moves and a great shot. Well, you know, they're still great players, but they're more focused on playing the game, right? They're not finagling around the ice, dipsy doodling. You know, I don't need that. I need wins. So that's what the Rangers need to figure out. And like you guys are saying, Gallant seems to be that attitude, that type of guy. And you were mentioning it too, Dad. You said about the third, fourth line minutes for all these guys. Gallant did say in his press conference, I'll give him kudos. He said, I don't see any value in putting guys on the third and fourth line. I don't see what you can gain from that. So no more Kravtsov and Kako in the bottom six, hopefully. And again, that will show, are these guys legit or not?
Yeah, give them the time. And if it's a top heavy 6 or 8, I forget all the guys' names by now because they're all pointless to me. Cause I don't think anything, you know, I gotta wait until some of them produce at this point. But you gotta look at it. You gotta say, who's part of your future, right? Zibanejad, Panarin, Lafreniere, Kako. There's 4. You've got Kreider. There's got to be 5, unless you're going to unload a $7 million contract. Kravtsov, I would throw in there as 6.
Truba has to be.
No, I'm just talking about forward.
Oh,
I think the defense will be fine. I think the defense is going to figure itself out with Schneider and that Matthew Robinson, if they bring him in, or maybe a journeyman. But those six guys, after that, I think, who am I missing? But I think everybody else, for me, is up for grabs. And as far as that, Buchnevich, Strome, I don't give a shit. I'd love to see Gauthier play some fucking minutes. We've talked about that a million times. But skilled guys, who am I missing? Am I missing anybody?
No, I mean, I think you got everyone. I mean, that's really the six that I would be saying they're staying.
Okay, so right there, there's your top six, but not necessarily in terms of playing on the top two lines, right?
Right.
Maybe some of those guys get sprinkled through the top nine. And the third guy, like, you know, my optimal line for before Josh Anderson went away was Josh Anderson on the wing with fucking anybody. I mean, like, it was put that guy on the wing. You can put Panarin on the left wing, and it doesn't matter who your center is at that point. But, like, they need that kind of guy, the lunch pail guy that – and, you know, Josh Anderson's not the lunch pail guy. He's got more skill. But somebody with skill to feather into that top six, and then it's okay if a Kako or a Kravtsov is on the third line if they're balanced. And then you get that. And by the way, Casey Cizikas, everybody's talking about, oh, the Rangers are in love with Casey Cizikas. Fuck him too. I mean, 5'10". I mean, you know, he's on that one line with the Islanders that they've been together for. Take him out of that. Without Clutterbuck, Buck, and Martin, I mean, what is a 5'10" center? I mean, seriously. Like, is he's who we're fucking lusting after? Come on. Be serious.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's too small. It's just yeah, and I don't understand, like, you know, I was reading some stuff the other day that they look at it. Now, this is my question. How do you go into this expansion draft and say, I'm gonna protect Colin Blackwell? I mean, right. How do you do that?
That's actually happening?
Well, that's what the rumors are, that he's going to be protected. And Howden, Gauthier, and I think DiGiuseppe's a free agent or whatever. And it was the three of them that were going to be exposed.
Ridiculous. That's just...
How do you say to yourself, listen, you know, I'm gonna keep Colin Blackwell protected? I mean,
right.
The guy's 5'4", for crying out loud. You don't want to talk about small.
Right. No, I know. I mean, if that happens, that we know that Drury, the legend of Drury the genius, is complete fucking bullshit.
Right.
That one move will destroy any possibility that Drury doesn't have his head up his ass.
Well, it's annoying with players like that because Blackwell's on the Team USA. What tournament are they in right now? They're doing some international, but he's on Team USA, so he's getting all this praise because he's on an American team, and so that it boosts him up to a level to where he isn't. So Drury can be like, well, hey, he was on Team USA, and he was really good for us, and he won an award for us last year, and all that. That's there sticking up, but we know that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's on Team USA for one simple reason, because the playoffs are going on.
Right, and yeah, no one wants to play.
Yeah, they didn't have enough fucking guys to fill out a roster, so it's not like he beat out a bunch of and if he looks good, it's because the rest of the rosters weren't filled out with real NHL players either, right? So, and then let's tack on 50 other reasons: larger ice surface, so he's got more room to do his shit without getting his head caved in. So Colin Blackwell was a nice little surprise, right? For a team that was dysfunctional and couldn't do shit anyway. So who gives a fuck about what kind of season he had? Let him go somewhere else. If they were willing to let Jesper Fast go, who was, by the way, worshipped in Rangerland for reasons I will never fucking understand. if we can give up Fast for nothing, literally, why the fuck are we protecting Colin Blackwell? Seriously. Like, I'm getting to, like, panic level with this fucking shit. I really am. Davidson gone, Gallant in, Drury here. Like, I'm thinking, no playoff mandate. I mean, it's like the Dark Ages are fucking going to start all over again.
Yeah, Dolan took over. It's the Dolan curse. He finally appeared.
I see it. I definitely see it. If that's the one thing that Sather might be able to do, keep Dolan out of it like he did for the last 20 years. Maybe that's the only thing that he can accomplish, but who knows? Who knows how it plays out?
Yeah, by the way, the Lightning are up 1-0 right now in the first period over Montreal. They get home ice game 1 and 2, then they'll go to Montreal for games 3 and 4. Let's just be real. The Lightning are probably going to win the cup, so that, you know, it's a big deal for them. But anyway, yeah. So the we keep circling the same bases. Gerard Gallant, is he going to be good? You know, what's the definition of good? Is that playoffs? Well, the Rangers don't know that. They don't even have a definition for what the season will be. So is it winning a Stanley Cup with Gallant? Is what's the standard for Drury? How long of a shelf life are we going to give him? How long are we going to give the rookies time? Who are the players that you can even get to fix the grip problem? What are you going to do with the cap? This is not an easy, and it looks so good during the season when you had JD and you had Gordon and you're like, well, we got a young group and we're pushing for the playoffs and all we need is a player or two. And now everything's spiraling out of control. And it's just, it seems like a ship that's waiting to sink.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no definitive direction right now. So whether we start to see that, during the expansion draft and while the regular draft is going on and then free agency opens up on the 28th, I mean, until you start seeing some kind of direction, it's like you said, I mean, right now we're just in limbo because we don't know what to expect. We don't know what direction this guy's going in. But I think Gallant behind the bench maybe steadies the ship behind the bench a little bit. I'm going to keep an open mind about him, probably for at least the season, and see how it goes and how the players react to him and let it go from there. But, there really is no, straight direction right now that I'm seeing. And, like you said, Joe, it's just, it's almost like panic mode and, Stanley Cup finals just start, it's not even over yet. So I guess we'll see in a couple of weeks, how it's going to, where it's going to go.
Yeah, it's a wacky time. I mean, I think Gallant's an uptick over Quinn. I just don't understand what the fascination was, what the fixation was on him. They never seemed, it was like he was the guy before anything even started. And like it was a foregone conclusion. And I don't know. I mean, when you got a guy like Claude Julien out there who's won a cup, who's, to me, he would have been kind of, unless he's like really damaged goods or there's something I don't know. Or he's
that's what I old. Think it is. Everyone says, oh, he's been through three original six teams and he's been passed around.
Maybe. I don't know. And maybe there's not, maybe there wasn't the perfect solution. But I will say this. Undoubtedly, Gallant is an uptick over Quinn because I don't think Quinn had the room. That's the bottom line. I don't think he commanded the room with either the star players, maybe with the rookies coming out of college, he was fine with all those guys, but I don't think he had the gravitas in the room. I think Gallant, with the undone tie and the half drunk look and the pedigree from the 90s with the Detroit guys, maybe he translates in that locker room a little bit more, but we'll see.
I hope so. So
where's Mike Keenan, George? Where's Mike Keenan?
Dude, I would bring him back in a heartbeat, bro.
Oh, shit, yeah. I know. Even if he came back for just 1 year and then went for St. Louis again. That's yeah. That's all pathetic Ranger fans. That's our legacy. We had one guy. And it's interesting? Messier was never really in this mix at all.
Yeah, no, he just signed with ESPN to be their main analyst.
Yeah. I mean, he was lobbying for the job before Quinn even got canned.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
He wanted it before Vigneault, too.
It's weird. It's weird that he any shot. Oh, that, yeah. Well, I wanted him 7 years ago. I didn't like the Vigneault thing. I couldn't imagine a better guy in the locker room than Mark Messier. I really couldn't. Typically those guys don't even want to coach, but I think he did. And I think he would have been brilliant. I mean, if he, they made a mistake 7 years ago, and maybe they're still paying for it. Right. Maybe with that crew, that they had, you know, after Tortorella, they could have done something with the right coach. I just don't think Vigneault was that guy, because, you know, again, too much finesse bullshit and whistle to whistle stuff, and Derek Stepan being a fucking tool in game one. You remember that play, right, George?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Never forget that, man.
I can clear the puck here and get us completely out of danger. I'll just stop here and pick my fucking balls for a little while, and then they'll score, and everything else will fall off the map.
I always say, George, my dad has a yearly player that he gets on just every single game. Fucking Kreider. God damn it, this fucking guy. And that year it was Stepan, and it tipped over at that point.
That play. Dude, I was the same way, man. You know, going all these years, you know, to almost every game. But years ago, at first it was, for me, it was James Patrick.
Yes.
So that was like the running joke in my section, because I used to just constantly be going, get off the ice, Patrick, you suck, all the time. And then when he was gone, then Bruce Driver was my guy.
Oh, wow.
You like Driver, you suck it. And to this day, my buddy works for Fox, and he was with James Patrick the other day. So he posted a picture, and I was laughing, and I just commented. I said, get off the ice, Patrick. He's laughing his ass off, because he's like, dude, I haven't heard that in 20 fucking years. I understand exactly where you're coming from with that, because I'm the same way. I always get on one guy, just ride him the whole season.
You got to let it out on someone. But also, I can't believe I didn't say it earlier. Happy birthday, Dad. We got a birthday pod for you.
And, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yep, 48 again.
You're a youngster, dude.
Yeah, no, I'm 54. I didn't think I was going to sneak that by you. But I tell you what, give it a shot. That's why I said 48 again. I wish. Can you imagine how pathetic it is? I wish I was 48.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, well, you were there for 1940, right, Dad?
Yes.
Yeah. You always tell those stories. So.
Yeah, the great 1940 team. What a memory.
Yes. All righty, guys. So that'll be a good place to end it. Off season. I mean, hey, I underestimated Montreal before. I said they're going to get 4-0 swept by Vegas. Apparently not. Vegas was, I don't even know what, but I feel like Vegas Tampa should at least Peter do that.
DeBoer. That's what Vegas was. Peter DeBoer.
Here's Pete DeBoer. Here's Pete DeBoer on the bench. All the fucking time. All the time. I wish a puck just hit him right in the fucking temple once and just had the end of it.
Oh, God. All right, guys. So we'll be back when the Ranger offseason starts. It should be, again, like I said, if Tampa wraps it up quick, you got expansion draft, then the real draft, then the free agency opens up, and it's all fair game. So that's coming soon. We're looking forward to it and getting back to Ranger hockey. And I could stop fucking watching other teams play hockey. I don't like it. All right. There, so we'll see you next time. We're on Apple Podcasts, IR Radio, Spotify as well. Look us up on YouTube. It's Strictly Sports Productions. All 5 podcasts are in the playlist section, so you can find it pretty easily. Follow us on Twitter at Strictly Sports P. On Facebook and Instagram at Strictly Sports Productions. For my dad and George Lake, I'm Jacob Brown, and we'll see you next week.